And welcome back to the Tuned In podcast.
Let's go.
How are we feeling today?
What a time to be alive. I'm feeling great.
We're coming to you today live. We're watching a Jazz game right now as we speak.
Yes, sir.
On a Monday night, we're playing the Celtics, currently up by two.
Let's go.
I guess maybe by the end of the episode, we'll know the end score. But how are you feeling?
Feeling pretty good, honestly. We were talking about on the way in here, it's kind of weird that it's so dark so early, like 7 yeah. o'clock. I guess that's that time of year, but...
Yeah, getting fooled by daylight savings just a little bit.
That's right.
But at least we got an extra hour of sleep.
That's right. Well, we got a really exciting episode today. Obviously, we got Jazz games to talk about, plenty of them. We'll also predict our upcoming games, of course, and then we'll talk about some Jazz news. We'll give you our official three bold prediction season. And then we'll talk about some NBA news, some disgruntled ex-superstars, I might say. And then, we'll, of course, we'll close it out with sports.
Make sure to follow us on all the Spotify or all the podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you can find a podcast. Make sure to check out our past couple episodes. We broke down the first week of the season. We broke down our Jazz superlatives going into the season and all of our NBA awards. So make sure to check those out as you're getting into the NBA.
And this is episode 86 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, we had some good games the last couple days. I guess week, right? Since we last recorded, we were, if I remember right, 1-1. We've had one win and three losses since then. Right. So currently on a 3-game losing streak. Hopefully the Jazz beat the Celtics. They're playing right now.
Oh, yeah.
But let's start with our win.
Might as well start on a
positive note, right? Yeah. We beat the Suns in overtime, 138-134. Pretty exciting game.
Totally.
Lauri Markkanen scores 51 points.
Yeah.
Did you realize that? I guess that's since Karl Malone. Nobody's done that.
That's kind of crazy. I mean, I guess Donovan was in the playoffs. I guess didn't count.
I guess playoffs,
season,
they weren't counting, but in regular season, that's pretty long.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. I love it.
I'm surprised that Deron Williams never got 50. I guess he never did. Or Gordon Hayward or Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, those guys had it.
But Lauri Markkanen's just that guy.
Yeah, that's hype.
I was actually so hyped when, I think he had 49?
Yeah, went to the free throw line.
Yeah, and I think Grayson Allen fouled him, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Because Grayson Allen was kind of cooking us.
Yeah, he was.
Towards the end of that game. Made me kind of miss him on our team.
Dude, our Jazz boys were cooking. I was just looking. Royce O'Neal had 17 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, and 5 steals. He was cooking, too. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was a problem.
Our Jazz boys were... We train them well over here in Utah. Unfortunately, we ship them away when they start getting good, but...
Yeah.
You win, I wish you lose, so.
Those times when you feel like you might have wanted to hold on to some of those guys, but it was all for the best, right,
That's
with
true.
Them.
That's true.
But good to see Royce playing well. He was a pest on defense for some of our guards. Him and Keontae, I think we're kind of getting into it at certain points in the game. But of course, Markkanen's going to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
51 points. You felt like he couldn't miss down the stretch. He was just doing everything. And I love how he didn't just settle for a lot of threes. He was very aggressive getting downhill. He had 17 for 17 from the free throw line, which is crazy.
Yep.
He was letting the refs know when he got hit, and he's getting fouled quite a bit. And he was also getting into the paint. He was posting up. He was using his size a lot more than I think he did the last year. I don't know. Do you like... For me personally, I like to see Lauri use his size because he's usually taller than who's guarding him, because we got Kessler and him out there, so he's going to be guarded by a four.
Yeah,
he's got to use his size, and I think he did a great job of that against the Suns.
Yeah, I love that. I think, like, you know, I think what was that last year he started getting doubled more, and it kind of felt sometimes like he just gave in and passed the ball out. This year it feels like he's just running guys over, which I love.
Yeah,
like,
and they've forced a double team in.
Yeah, totally. He looks stronger from last year. Also, I think it makes it easier when you got guys like Walker Kessler and Keontae scoring like they should. Walker Kessler 25 and 11 with 4 blocks. Keyonte 26 points.
Shot those kind of go under the radar.
Totally. And Keyonte wasn't like crazy efficient, but 45% is better than what he has been shooting at other points. So it's like
10 assists as well for a double double.
You'll take that. So.
And Walker Kessler 4 blocks and 11 rebounds. That I don't know. That I think that's kind of back to last season. Walker Kessler, we're just like, wow, he got a lot of rebounds and blocks. We're like, okay.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy that they combined for over 100 points, just those three guys.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's crazy. I mean, it was a high scoring game.
Yeah.
Give us that. I feel like our offense is definitely better thus far than it was last year.
Totally.
At least from this small sample size.
Yeah. And up to this point, I thought our defense was looking better, but this game kind of, I mean, it was overtime, to be fair.
I mean, I think
but,
we had the worst defense in the league last year, right? So anything better than that.
Our first couple of games, it was looking like, you know, we were forcing turnovers. We were, you know, all sorts of things where it was like, oh, dang, maybe we'll play some defense this year, but yeah, but maybe not.
I don't know if we pointed this out last game or last, it might have happened this week. We were going up against, when we were going up against the Trailblazers, sorry, I'm jumping into the next game.
Okay.
We were down by 20 at one point in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And guess who it was that brought us back into the game?
Mm.
Elijah Harkless, of all people, right? I was watching the fourth quarter and he just came in and totally changed the energy defensively.
Totally.
Makes me wonder if we should maybe start him or bring him in to the game when we kind of get down and need some rallying, right?
Interestingly enough, the guys with the two highest plus minuses is Elijah Harkless and Cody Williams.
Yeah.
Plus 17 and plus 15
that,
for Cody
That makes
Williams.
A lot of sense.
Yeah, and their stats don't jump off the page. Elijah only had 1 point, a rebound, and a couple assists, but it's like he just does the intangibles, brings the energy, like you said.
It like totally flipped, and it was totally Elijah Harkless because he's getting a lot of steals and rebounds.
Totally. Yeah.
And that doesn't look as flashy on the box score, but it was what we needed.
Totally.
Sorry, back to the Suns game for a second, though.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of almost fumbled the bag.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do you feel like the ref stole anything from us at the end?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me. Yeah, that was a horrible. I've never seen a call like that where it was like, you don't just get to challenge the entire. You're challenging whether it's a foul or it's not. But then, like, for some reason, the refs decided to throw a jump ball in there, and you're like, it was like, not a jump ball in the first place.
Give the Suns the win, you may as well.
Yeah, like, what in the world? That was insane.
Yeah, and the guy had his hands, like, I think it was Royce, had his hands hugging Lowry.
Yeah.
So he was holding the ball, but he's hugging him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's still a foul, because Lowry was getting hit on the arms and on the back.
Totally.
So...
yeah.
I feel like the refs really almost blew that one for us, but at least it resulted in a 50-point game from Lowry, so we'll take it.
And I guess we can't complain because Lowry did shoot 17 free throws, so I guess he did have plenty of opportunities to shoot at the line.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like, wasn't it the Suns last year where we had some, where KD hit
we had like a double OT
overtime
game.
Yeah. And I think Grayson Allen was big in those games too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I guess it's just the Suns for us, I guess.
Cross-state rivalry.
Yeah, border rivalries, I guess.
But now I guess we could move to the Blazers.
Yeah.
Should have won this game, but we just couldn't really come back enough. Elijah Harkless made it close.
Mm-hmm.
But we just couldn't. We were down by 3 and it just wasn't enough.
Yeah. I know I'm broken record. I'm still just loving what I see from Keyonte, 29 and 8, but 15 free throws. He's being very aggressive, finishing at the rim.
Learned that from Colin.
Yeah.
Colin Sexton.
So.
Yeah, he's getting the line great.
But he's hitting his free throws. I think he's probably got the highest free throw percentage on the team this year because he's been playing really well at the line.
Yeah, what's different for you about Keyonte? Because I know last episode we gave him Player of the Week because he's been playing so well. But, like, what's different from him?
I kind of feel like I remember opening press conferences or whatever it's called, Will Hardy talking about how Keyonte took strides with his body in this offseason. Like, he really took care of himself. I can kind of tell. It feels like he's, like, much more mature. He's, like, the game slowed down a little bit for him. I still feel like he needs to shoot better if he wants to stick around, but but honestly, I'm just loving. He feels more like a leader on the floor to me. I think that's probably the biggest difference.
Yeah, and I mean, right now, still not shooting great. He's shooting 41%, 25% from three, so he's still not a great three-point shooter. Still, you can tell his IQ is a little better.
Totally.
And he's making the right play a lot more of the time, even though if he's missing shots still, he's making the right kind of plays.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think another guy that jumps off the page to me, and so far has looked really good, I think Yusuf Nurkic is perfect backup center for
us. We were wondering if he'd even play.
Yeah, but he's been... I love, like, his versatility. Like, he's shown that he can shoot okay. I don't think he's, like, a dead-eye shooter, but, you know, you can't just leave him open. Mm-hmm. He's a good enough shooter, good rebounder. He's not
very good rebounder.
Doesn't play too selfish, which I like, so I think he's been really nice.
He's been dishing out some assists here and there, too.
Yeah.
This game, he had five turnovers and four assists, though. But
yeah.
So he does turn the ball over, but he has been getting some assists. I just want to see him not force anything, because I feel like he's made some bad passes.
Yeah, totally.
Clean up that a little bit. Totally. But overall, I'm impressed with just his rebounding and doing the dirty work.
Yeah, totally.
Another thing I just wanted to point out from, like, the first week or two of games, we've had Svi Mykhailiuk in the starting lineup basically the whole time. You're shaking your head at that. But I was going to point out, Svi Mykhailiuk has had, like, our best plus minus in most of those games. So I don't know if it's him or just the guys he's playing with. But whenever he's in the game, it seems like we've been doing better.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's enough games to really tell.
No, yeah.
But you think he should be starting or?
No, I don't. I'm honestly, something that's been frustrating for me so far, I still think that it's just the question of, like, what exactly are the Jazz trying to accomplish this year? Like, we've talked about a ton of times where it's like, are we playing for the draft? Are we going to try to push for a play-in spot? Like, to me, it's disheartening when I look down the box score and I see Ace Bailey 15 minutes, Walter Clayton 16, Cody Williams and Taylor Hendricks 15 and 12 minutes, Sensabaugh 14 minutes. It's like, or sorry, I'm looking at the Blazers game, but it's like, man, like, we're developing guys. Like, there's no reason for us to have Svi taking up so many minutes in the game when we have guys who need to develop, need to be on the floor, in my opinion.
I feel that. Maybe are we trying to win or are we trying to develop, I guess, is the question.
Yeah,
right?
I think
if we're trying to win, maybe Svi, like, because he's had a better plus minus.
Totally agree.
He's good at spacing the floor.
He's looked like a better defender so far.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Actually true. Maybe he is a better winner right now, but is that really what we're trying to do?
Yeah.
It's interesting to see.
Yeah, totally. I feel like that's just been my main frustration. I feel like that's been kind of a lingering thing with Will Hardy, though, where we're like, why did Taylor Hendricks not play at all his first season? Like,
yeah, we were so upset because he was our eighth pick.
Yeah, and Bryce Sensabaugh is just now starting to get minutes, and you're like, this guy's been able to score like this in his rookie year. Like, he was in the Stars scoring 40-50 point games, and you're like, why is this guy not playing for us? Like,
yeah.
Anyways, it's just...
it's going to be also interesting when Collier gets back, and he's got to get minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's going to happen to Svi?
We don't know. Totally.
Maybe that's part of it, is Svi's minutes will just get all taken up by Collier, and...
Yeah.
And then everybody else will just be the same, but I don't know.
Unless it's like the Danny Ainge way where it's like, let's get Svi's drafts or his trade stock way up so we can trade him at the deadline.
Yeah, maybe we're not actually holding on to him all season long.
Maybe we're doing the Kelly Olynyk Fontecchio thing where we're like, look how good he is. And they're like, oh, give us a second round pick. Anyways, we'll see what happens, I guess.
Second round pick might turn out to be Kyle Filipowski.
Yeah, it's true.
So I'm just saying. That's true.
It could be Nikola Jokic for all we know.
Yeah. Draymond Green. But anything else from that Trailblazers game?
I don't think so. I mean, I really like the Blazers roster. I think I'm surprised that they've looked so good so early. I mean, they're 3-2 overall, but with the whole contrary losing
fourth in the West right now.
Yeah, losing your coach too right before all of this.
Yeah, I thought that'd give us an advantage, but I guess not.
I like Denny Advia a lot. I think Donovan Klingon looks really nice.
Him and Walker Kessler are basically the same player.
Yeah, kind of feels like it. Feels like Walker's a little more bulky, but Klingon's a couple years behind him, so it could get there. So, After that, though, we go back and play the Suns. First NBA Cup game,
I believe. Yeah. Honestly, they just took care of us.
Yeah, they did.
This game, they went up 20 points in the first quarter, and then we never really came back.
Yeah, unfortunately. Seems like Mark Williams always has, I don't know what he has against the Jazz. I guess he didn't have a great, it just felt like he was all over the floor to me. Like, he just kind of dominated. Walker only scored 4 points, which is like, just
not he's, that we need him. And he's been doing so well in other games.
Yeah, he has. So, whenever I look at the Suns bench, though, man, they have no depth at all. It's kind of crazy. But their starters are pretty good.
Yeah, Devin Booker's kind of had to carry them a little bit.
Yeah, where's Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks? Are they not?
I think they're injured.
Yeah, I haven't been paying attention.
At least I knew Dylan Brooks was. I guess Jalen Green must be as well.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, Booker cooked us. He had 36. Yeah. I think he's probably the main reason they got up to that lead in the beginning in the first place.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we just couldn't really come back. Our boy Lauri Markkanen, though, still a 30-point game.
Yeah.
I don't know if you realize it, but he's top 5 in the league in points per game right now. Yeah. So if he keeps that up, he might make All-Star even if we don't make the playoffs, because he's just doing so well.
I feel like the crazy thing is, I'm sure we'll talk about this later with our NBA guys that stand out, but I feel like there's a lot of guys just scoring a lot of points this year. So yeah, it's going to be
40-point games are just every day now. It's an everyday occurrence.
That's been pretty crazy so far.
Keontae also had a pretty good game as well. You got to point that out. He almost had a triple-double.
Yeah.
Because he had 9 assists and 8 rebounds, 17 points. Again, didn't shoot that great. Shot 30%. No. But he got to the line 9 for 11 from free throw. So
yeah. Makes me wonder who's going to get our next triple-double. I thought it was going to be Walker a couple games. What was that preseason game where he was 1 assist away?
Right.
But Keontae's gotten pretty close. I could see Lowry getting close.
Underrated guy, Walter Clayton.
Walter Clayton could get it. He's a great rebounder for a point guard.
Yeah.
So, could be Cody Williams. Just kidding. Probably won't be. But well, that takes us to the Hornets. In my mind, pretty disheartening game. They were without LaMelo Ball.
I predicted a win on this one. I know you predicted a loss.
Yeah.
But I think we're close. But I don't know. I'm just surprised we got killed so much by the Hornets. Like, the Hornets are not that good.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd get killed like that. It didn't feel like at any point in the game like we were competitive, in my opinion.
Did it feel weird to see Colin Sexton?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A couple times I was like, it seemed like him and Keontae were like battling it out, and I was like, dang, these guys are, they used to be friends. Yeah, what's going on here?
They're not anymore. Yeah.
Keontae was pretty much, I mean, I guess Lowry did what Lowry does. Keontae, I thought, had a good game, 25-7 with a steal and a block, 45%. Kind of the same old with shooting. We finally saw Kevin Love and Kyle Anderson in action in an actual game. A little bit more. Makes me wonder if that was like, if it was garbage minutes or if Will Hardy was like, we need to try something different or what was going on there. But they both played pretty decent.
Taylor Hendricks in the starting lineup this game.
Mm-hmm.
He actually played pretty well.
Yeah.
Made most of his shots, shot 62% and 14 points.
Yep. Not bad.
Love what I saw from Taylor.
Yeah, he looked really good.
Yeah, but in general, we just couldn't stop the Hornets.
Mm-mm.
They were just cooking. Konkanipal looks like a bucket already.
Yeah. I think they got some... I honestly think... Like, if I was a Hornets fan and I saw that game, I'd start asking myself some questions about whether we look better without LaMelo Ball or not. Because I like LaMelo Ball. I really like his game. It just makes me wonder if they're better without him.
He's a hard player to fit your game around.
Because
he demands the ball. He takes a lot of shots.
Yeah.
So if you're going to play with LaMelo, you kind of just have to be a role player.
Yeah.
And honestly, you're right. Like, Konkanipal... it's great.
Colin Miles Sexton, Bridges played really well.
Kalkbrenner looks pretty good.
Kalkbrenner had 4 steals and 4 blocks. Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Just a monster out there. He's exactly what they need.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah, but a little disheartening. I hope that we'll only play the Hornets twice. I hope that the next time we play the Hornets, we'll really hand it to them.
Yeah. Well, and if we're feeling bad about Cody Williams at all, we can just keep in mind Tijon Saloon, 3 minutes, zero stats whatsoever.
It could be worse.
Could be absolutely worse. So, or about the same, maybe.
Depending on who you ask, I guess. Because what did Cody do?
Yeah.
Basically nothing also. So.
Yeah. So kind of crazy.
Well, just to keep you updated, there's 5 minutes left against the Celtics, up by five.
Okay.
So we might win this game tonight.
Let's go.
We can just hold on to this lead for five more minutes.
Let's go.
So that's Celtics higher. Haven't looked nearly as good without Tatum.
Oh, yeah, not at all. Well, we have, I guess, technically two games if you don't count the one tonight coming up this week. Or I guess before that, we should probably do our player of the week. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Sorry, I forgot about that.
Go ahead.
Well, I think this one's an obvious one. I don't think you can score 50 points and not get player of the week. We always talk about how we're always overlooking Lowry, and I don't think he deserves the attention this week. I think Lowry gets it for the 50 points. Also, he's like our most consistent scorer, like you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Just very easily our best player. So.
And I don't think you could have had it another way. Because, yeah, I mean, he scored 50 points. He's top five in the league in points per game. He's shooting an amazing percent from three. I don't know about you, but I think if we... It's going to be hard if we're not in the playoffs, but I think Lowry would definitely make the All-Star team as of right now. If we're not a playoff team, he might have to keep these stats up. But he's definitely... carried us these last couple games, and he looks like the player that we were all hoping to see last season.
Totally agree. I think he's even better than that first season that we saw him here. Seems like Eurobasket gave him some confidence, or maybe mm-hmm. that's just what I think it might be, but yeah, he's playing really well. I think
yeah, again, point out he's using his size. Mm-hmm. He's still a sniper from three, and he's even been able to with posting up, he's been able to kind of create his own shot in some instances.
Totally. Get to the line.
Which is kind of a new part of the Lowry that we haven't had all
a little
the time.
Dirk post fade. We've seen it a couple times this year so far. It's been nice.
So shout out to Lowry. We love to see it. Keep it up.
Totally.
We might end up hanging his jersey in the rafters if he keeps this up this whole season.
But. Yeah. Well, two games coming up this week, other than the one tonight. First, we're still on a road trip. We're going to Detroit. Who are you feeling is going to come out with the victory in Detroit?
So I've been looking at Detroit just to see how they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually number four in the East right now. They're 2-1 at home. Pretty good home record.
Not bad.
So, and they're on a two-game win streak currently.
Mm.
So I'm thinking we're going to lose this game.
Yeah.
And Pistons will probably beat us by 8 points is what I'm saying.
Ooh, okay.
This is a new Pistons team. It's not the one we can make fun of anymore for losing like 30 games in a row. They're for real. I think they'll be a playoff team again.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think with the way the East looks this year, Detroit's got a real chance of like making a run if they put some things together this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to say we lose as well. I think it'd be a little bit closer. I'm going to say Jazz lose by 4. Pistons beat us by 4. I think it could be like, I don't know, feels like the Jazz still have something in the tank. We haven't given up yet, so maybe our young guys will push some
energy.
We
can't lose every game on the road trip, right?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, we might beat the Celtics. We're up by 7, just saying. but yeah, I could see Pistons are going to be a hard route.
Yeah, totally.
But then Timberwolves, we go to Minnesota. We know the Timberwolves made it to the Western Conference Finals the last 2 years. They're a good team, but they've kind of had a rocky start.
Anthony Edwards is out, or I don't know how long he's out. He's been out for a little bit.
That hopefully he stays out for at least a couple more games. They're 3-3 right now, so they're actually not doing great. 1-2 at home.
Yeah.
Who do you have when we go to Minnesota?
Oh man, I think this could be. I feel like we were trying to do this a lot last year, but I can't predict all losses. So I'm going to say the Jazz get the win in Minnesota. We give our boy Jingle and Joe a loss. I'm going to say Jazz win by 7.
Okay.
Good win. Solid win.
I'm going to stick with the loss. I'm going to say Jazz lose by 4. Keep it a close game, kind of what you're thinking with the Pistons.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I do think this is anybody's game, just because, especially if Anthony Edwards is out, definitely got a shot. Because I don't think Julius Randle is the first scoring option. It's going to be that that crazy. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of planning on Edwards being there. But if he's not, I could totally see us pulling that one out.
Yeah, it looks like Minnesota just beat the Nets. Like, just barely ended. DiVincenzo was our top scorer.
He was cooking. So my redheaded brother.
He had 20. Yeah, he had 25. Randle had 19. Jaden McDaniels looked pretty good. So, anyways.
Rudy Gobert has not looked that great.
He had an okay game tonight, 15 and 12, but he hasn't looked great. Up to the 6 for 6 from the floor. Oh my gosh, perfect from the floor. Man,
probably
the Stifle
all dunks.
Tower. Yeah.
But hopefully we can take care of at least one of those two teams, come at home with a win.
Totally.
But kind of moving on to some Jazz news, I just have some NBA stats for you.
Okay.
Because I don't know, how much of a stat guy are you? Like, are you looking at the per game stats very often?
Not really. I follow box scores a lot, but I don't really.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So I've got all the Jazz leaders in different per game stats, and I just want you to guess. Yeah, so far, who's leading in the category and how many they have?
Okay.
So points per game, the leader's going to be obvious.
Yeah, it's Lowry.
Lowry.
For sure.
How many points per game do you think he's got?
With the 50-point game, and he's been near 30 most of the games, I'm going to say he's like 34. I'll say 34.
33. So right up there, which is actually top 5 in the league.
Dang.
As of right now. So
that's
he's
crazy.
Absolutely killing it.
Yeah. To think like 10 years ago, that would have been the top probably 34
yeah,
game.
That was more than LeBron. LeBron was like 28 or 29.
That's
but
so crazy.
33 is Lowry right now. He's,
yeah.
And that's 6 games in. That's pretty good.
That's solid, yeah.
That's pretty good. And I guess moving on to rebounds.
I'm going to guess Nurkic.
He's second.
Okay.
Your boy Walker
Kessler.
He's sticking with number one. He's
I
not
felt
doing
like that
bad.
Was obvious, but I was like, maybe
yeah.
maybe it's like sneaky.
Well, I guess how many rebounds do you think they both have?
I bet Walker's up there near like 11 maybe.
10.8.
Ooh, I was close.
Then what about Nurkic?
He's probably, I bet he's like 10.2.
He's got 7.8.
Okay,
so he's doing okay. He's doing all right.
That's fair.
And then maybe after Lori, there's two other guys that are above 10 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy, yeah, I guess Keontae, he's got 21.8.
Interesting.
He's pretty high. He's averaging 22 points per game right now.
Dang, okay.
Pretty solid. And then Walker Kessler, he's got 14.4 points per game, which is
that's
pretty solid.
Solid.
So those are our top 3 scorers right now.
Dang.
And then who do you think's leading us in steals and blocks?
Is it the same person, different person?
Different.
Well, blocks has got to be Walker.
Yeah, clearly. I guess this is a lot easier than I thought it would be, but
steals?
he's got 1.8.
Steals might be kind of tough. I would think steals would be like Taylor Hendricks. He had a couple 2 steal games early.
Not really. He's actually not. He's only averaging 0.3.
Okay.
So.
I guess he slowed down a little.
Yeah.
Maybe like Walter Clayton. Up there for steals.
No, it's actually both of our big men again.
Interesting.
Yusuf
okay.
Nurkic has 1.5.
Dang.
And then Walker Kessler has 1.4. And then Keontae, Sfia, and Elijah Harkless all have 1.
Man, it's too bad Walker's in an era where Wemby's alive, because, dude, you go 2 blocks a game and 1.5 steals a game, you're defensive
really
player of the
good.
Year.
No, you're good. And 11 rebounds? Yeah,
yeah,
he's killing it.
But Wemby's going to average 5 blocks a game probably, so unfortunately for Walker, but that's okay, I guess.
Okay, and then just because you know I'm the turnover police, who's averaging the most turnovers a game?
I bet it's, I know Keontae had 6 the other day. It's got, I would just think with how much he handles the ball, it's got to be Keontae, right?
Yeah, it's him with 4.
Okay.
That's crazy, by the way. And then Walker has 3. Yusuf Nurkic has 3.
Interesting.
So they need to stop handling the ball.
Yeah, I think so.
And then, all right, here will be the last one. Free throw percentage.
Ooh.
We actually have 3 guys that have not missed a free throw yet.
Really? Okay.
They're 100%.
I bet Keontae hasn't missed one. He's been pretty hot.
No, he's missed a couple.
He has?
Yeah,
oh,
but
wow.
He's 92%.
Because Lowry hasn't missed.
He has. He's 87%.
Oh, dang. I was thinking with the 17 and 17.
We're a really good free throw shooting team.
Yeah, we're
so
not
far.
Bad this year.
But three guys have not missed a single one yet.
Let's go Svi.
Yep, he's one of them.
Svi hasn't missed. I'll also say Ace Bailey.
Yep, he's one of them.
Okay.
Got one more.
Two for two, other than the two I missed. Who else do we have? Filipowski.
No, he's actually one of the worst on the team, 60%.
That was shot in the dark. Anyways.
It's Walter Clayton,
oh,
which makes
it.
A lot of sense.
I kind of overthought it. I was thinking
yeah,
of him,
he's like our best shooter on the team, low-key.
Yeah, dang, okay.
Yeah, but there's some stats for you. Mostly what jumps off the page for me is that 33 points per game from Lowry.
Totally.
Walker Kessler, 14 and 11, two blocks. And Keyonte George somehow averaging 22 a game, which is a lot higher than
that's so
I think we both thought.
Man. Well, another thing exciting. If you haven't checked out our jersey rankings, I know that was a little while ago, but go find those past episodes because we've talked a lot about our favorite Jazz jerseys.
We get into the weeds with jerseys. I
think
we've talked about all of them.
Yeah,
we have. We've basically had every color at this point.
But kind of an I didn't expect this, but Jazz New City Edition jerseys that go with the baby blue, or at least a variation of it. They're kind of a gray with some baby blue trim, which we were both big fans of the baby blue. I think people in general probably weren't, but we were.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I was.
Like
I
the Darren Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are nice. So what do you think of the new jerseys? What are your...
They kind of are like a dark mode one to me.
Yeah.
I'd give them like a solid like 6 out of 10.
That's fair.
I like the fact that we have another jersey that's... It's not a bad jersey, but it's not going to be the one I'm going to buy personally.
Yeah.
It's pretty similar to the black one we already have.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes me feel like I just prefer that one. But yeah. I do like how they're bringing back like the mountain, like back to those kind of sunset type jerseys we used to have, but they're just black to white.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd say it's not one of my favorite jerseys of all time, but I'm glad we have it. And I think it's still a W on the court.
Oh, totally.
It looks clean. Wouldn't be the one I'd buy.
Yeah, I'm honestly, I think they could look much worse. There's a lot of these like city dishes that look really bad. I like the baby blue, I think it's cool. One thing I'm not really a fan of, just feels like there's a lot of brand confusion happening. Like, are we red and orange? Are we, you know, purple? Are we yellow? Are we baby blue? Like, it's like, man, what are even the Jazz colors? I don't even know what I would tell somebody nowadays if they asked me.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like we just continue to confuse who the Jazz are. It's kind of frustrating sometimes, but
I saw a take on social media that said this is the best branding the Jazz have ever had.
That's fair.
I don't know. I'd say I do like it. I do like it a lot.
Yeah.
But I think those 90s just have so much nostalgia.
Totally.
But maybe after that, this might be the best branding that we've had.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I think it'd be cool. I saw another take on, I was listening to sports radio the other day. They were talking about how the Jazz should try to match up their jerseys a little better with the Mammoth and just kind of roll with them together, which is kind of interesting.
And I've seen that a little bit with the blue.
Yeah, the
trims.
Baby blue kind of does that a little bit. Like, I don't know, it's a little darker for the Mammoth, but I don't know. It doesn't have to be exactly the same, but I feel like if you kind of make it similar, it would be kind of cool, I think.
But yeah. But overall, a W, I'd say. I'm glad that they brought them out. It's not a bad jersey by any means.
Yeah.
I think we have all W jerseys
totally
that we wear currently.
They're not highlighter yellow. We'll thank our lucky stars.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Another part of news, we have seen Isaiah Collier actually on the court.
Yes, sir.
Just for the Salt Lake Stars. He's working out with them.
His hamstring did not fall off. Contrary to popular
thankfully,
belief.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
But did you actually, I didn't actually see him play. I just saw like video.
Yeah, I just saw some
social
clips.
Media, but at least he's out there and he looks pretty good.
Kind of wish he would have just come out and played with the Jazz. I think the whole rehabbing with the Stars thing is kind of weird, but hopefully it's not more than one or two games. He can just come back and start playing.
Yeah, if it helps him stay healthy and not get injured as quick,
yeah,
then sure.
Yeah, that's fair.
But good to see him out there. And then I guess that gets us into our bold predictions for the season.
Man, I'm a little scared.
Yeah, I know. We're making these bold predictions, and it was tough because in my opinion, for a bold prediction, you don't want to make something too obvious.
Yeah.
It's like maybe a 10 or 15% chance like it'll actually happen.
Yeah.
But it's something that we feel like we feel confident in.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. The Jazz are up by 2 with 1 second left, by the way.
Okay.
Keep you updated on that.
Interesting.
Hopefully we can get the win in one second.
Yeah.
I think the Celtics have the ball with 0.6 seconds left.
Oh, geez.
So hopefully they miss.
Yeah.
But for bold predictions, we've each got 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're actually going to change it up this year. We're going to start with our coldest one to our hottest one.
Yep.
So I don't know. Last year we had some decent predictions. I don't know if any, did we get any of them to actually happen?
I think last year I predicted we would trade for Dame at the deadline, and obviously that didn't happen.
I mean, and I predicted that we wouldn't make any trades, and yeah, we did. So
that's true. Yeah.
We'll see if we can get one to hit this year.
Yeah.
I could have repeated this one. Last year I said Keontae George would be top 10 in assists in the NBA.
Mm.
I'm not going to repeat it again, but low-key, that might happen this year instead of last year. Yeah. But let's start with our coldest one.
Yeah.
What's your first bold prediction for the season?
Okay, this might not feel cold, but to me, I think it's one that I could see happening the most. Lauri Markkanen gets traded.
Wow. I think that's your coldest one?
I think so, yeah. I honestly just think, though, we still hear the Lowry trade rumors that the Jazz are not necessarily shopping him, but that he's available. I don't think that these rumors are coming from nowhere. And I don't know. I still don't think that Lowry fits the Jazz timeline. I know that he loves being here, so I wouldn't be surprised if he stays. But I think this is the year we use that contract to move him and get some picks. So that's my prediction.
I hope not, personally, just as a Lowry fan.
That's fair.
Because I still believe in Lowry as like a piece we can build around.
Yeah, that's right.
But I understand what you're saying, like, kind of open up space for others.
Yeah.
When we traded Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson got waived, kind of feels like some space has opened up.
Yeah.
So Lowry will even get more of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think that's a good one because I feel like it's bold enough. It's like not likely, but
yeah,
could totally happen.
Yeah. And I just think like this NBA rookie class is looking like it's going to be really special. So I just think I could see the AIN just being like, oh yeah, we need to get some more picks. You know, we need to go for AJ DeBonts or Darren Peterson, Cameron Boozer. We need one of those guys. In. So
yeah,
anyways, that's mine. What is your coldest of the hot takes?
Coldest of the hot takes. Still pretty hot, but I could see this happening. I'm going to say Walter Clayton will be a starter by the end of the season.
Ooh, okay. I don't hate it.
My understanding with this is like he's already started playing at the end of games, like to close him out. We're surprised to see like him, he's in the most important minutes of the games already, and he's already playing decently well. I think if he's going to be a starter, he's got to be a little bit better of a defender than he is right now and get a little bit more experience. But I could already see he already looks like an NBA player to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question he's going to be on our team for the next couple of years. I just think by the end of the season, could totally be a starter.
Gonna be the guy. I could see that. I don't hate it. I think it'll be interesting how the point guard thing plays out, but I could see any of those three guys being the starter at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't hate
that. That's
the
fair. So it's not super hot, but it's a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit hot take.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Do you want to go next or should I go?
Yeah, you can go. You
I'll go again. Okay. My next one, sticking with the theme of the rookies. I'm going to say Ace Bailey will be second in PPG by the end of the season on
our
team.
Ooh.
I'm going to say behind Lowry. If Lowry's still on the team, he'll be second.
I don't hate that.
He's kind of been cold start the season, but I think it's going to pick up. He's going to be our second leading scorer.
Well, if he only plays 15 minutes a game, it's not going to happen, but I hope that we just start throwing him into the fire a little more because I can see that. I totally can see that happening. I like that pick. My second one, I think that one Jazz player is going to publicly call out the Jazz this year. I think like Enes Kanter or Trey Burke. I think, I don't know who it's going to be, but I think somebody will get tired of all the losing because some of these guys have been doing this for a couple years now, their whole careers, some of them. And I could see somebody like making some comment
really
about how the Jazz are losing. I don't know if it'll lead to a trade, But I'm just saying, I think I could see some.
Have we ever had that happen? Or you said Enes Kanter.
Enes Kanter kind of did that. Trey Burke was doing that a little when that whole thing was happening around the same time. You know, I don't know. I just could see I could see how you'd get frustrated with what the Jazz are doing. I'm frustrated with it, so.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it gets harder each season.
Totally.
That Clippers game at the beginning of the year kind of made you think, all right, maybe we're for real.
Yeah.
But it's kind of starting to feel like last year already with three losses. But I don't know. I think it's hot enough where I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Yeah.
Right? Especially we've got some veterans like... Like Yusuf Nurkic probably doesn't have a filter.
Yeah. I mean, if we're at like 15 to 20 wins at the deadline and the Jazz trade away, you know, all their pieces, I'm going scorched earth if I was one of those guys. I'm going to tell the media how unhappy I am and make sure that it's, and I don't know. I mean, you got a lot of guys who are, it's kind of contract years. I'm not saying it's going to be Walker, but he was pretty upset about the whole contract thing. I could see him, like, you know, throwing some things out there, just like passive aggressive things about the team. Not necessarily being toxic, just, you know, making his thoughts known. So, anyways. Well, that takes me to, I guess I'll do my third one.
Yeah, do your hottest.
Okay, I recycled one from last year. Will Hardy is coaching his last year with the Jazz.
Oh, my goodness.
I predicted that last year. I still didn't hate the pick. I just don't think that. If you look at Will Hardy's record, I don't think you can keep doing that to your coaching resume where you win 20 games a year. Like, he's never going to coach anywhere else ever again if he just keeps losing with the Jazz. It doesn't matter, like, how much development he does, which he's not very good at so far. But, like, I don't know. I think whether it's his decision or the Jazz decision to move on to somebody else, I think it's last year coaching for the Jazz.
Dang, that's crazy because he got extended forever.
Yeah.
Like what, like six to 10 years or something? I can't remember how many years it was. Yeah.
I don't know. That's my hottest prediction.
I dig it. I'm a Will Hardy. Dude, you're pulling on my heartstrings, getting Lauri traded and Will Hardy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole different team if that happens.
That's true.
But pretty bold. I'd say if that were to happen, we would have to have like the crash and burn kind of season.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully, I'm hoping that doesn't happen personally, but we'll see. For my last one, I feel like mine are pretty optimistic.
Fair enough.
This one has some interesting stat behind it. I'm going to say the Jazz roll for a 7-game win streak at some point in the season.
Ooh. Okay.
I don't know if you remember 2 years ago.
Start right now because the Jazz just beat the Celtics. So.
Oh, let's.
Six games let's from now, go. you could have it.
this is not even a bold prediction. We're going to win six more. Right? It'll happen.
Let's go.
But I don't know if you remember 2 years, not this last season, but two seasons ago, we had a 10-game win streak and we had a bad year, right?
Yeah.
Since then, if you look at last year, guess what our highest win streak was last year?
Probably 2 games, 3 games.
2 games.
Yeah.
And that was one time. Every other win streak was one that I saw. Isn't that crazy?
I'm sure some people got scolded for winning so many games after the second game. The Danny Ainge was like,
why
all right,
are we
guys,
winning two
chill.
Games in a row?
Cooper Flagg's available.
I don't know
Come
if you
on.
Remember, we kept predicting games and we're like, all right, we won one. We've got to lose at least three before we'll win the next game.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember. That's how we were predicting last season.
It was bad. Yeah.
It was so bad. But I think we can do at least better than 2-game win streak.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like a bold enough prediction is a 7-game win streak at some point during the season.
Yeah.
We've already, now that we beat the Celtics tonight, we've already won 3 games.
Mm.
So maybe 7 in a row is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's fair. I like that. Well, some NBA news. Not really a surprise. Ja Morant had some kind of altercation with this coach, got suspended 1 game by the Grizzlies. I don't know. Did you see his post-game press conference where
I've heard people talk about it. He was just saying, like, ask the coaching staff.
Yeah, it was very Marshawn Lynch-y.
I'm not playing well or caring about the game.
Yeah, he said something about, like, coaching staff doesn't want me here. Like, just,
interesting.
You know, pouting. It was pretty lame. I think he has a lot of talent, but I think he's done himself no favors in the NBA with his PR, like all the gun stuff, and then acting like he didn't do anything wrong, and then now he's like, I don't know. If he were to get traded, what do you think would even be a good situation for him?
Dude, I don't think any situation's a good situation if John Morant's there. I think he'll probably turn whatever team he goes to into a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little bit of a stretch, but it just seems like... He's a great player, but he's not a great team player.
No.
Like, they've been building around him in the Grizzlies for years, and they still haven't been able to make something work.
Mm-mm.
And so, I don't know, I feel like if he gets traded, it's just going to... He's going to have it exactly his way, or it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many teams in the NBA want to trade for a guy that demands so much of the ball, that demands so much media attention, that has had all those problems in the past, the fines, the guns, the whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like Ja Morant. Highlights are great. He's been a dominant player. I remember watching March Madness and seeing him take Murray State to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But anyways, I miss the Ja Morant we used to see, but it just seems like now he's just... too high maintenance. He hasn't really been like an all-star in like the past couple years, so I don't even know if a team would really want to trade anything of value for him.
Yeah, I think, like, what was it, 2 or 3 seasons ago when they were the 2 seed in the West? I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
I thought he looked really nice. Like, he was shooting well, he was playing pretty good defense, the Grizzlies were playing amazing, but ever since then it's just been downhill. And I actually saw a comment the other day on the comment section that said, we need to send him to Utah so he can get himself cleaned up, which I thought was funny. I think we're good, though, but I mean...
Yeah, I'm good.
But
what if they just say, you know what, like, let's trade him to the Wizards for, like, CJ McCollum and Chris Middleton or something like that?
I was thinking probably, like, the only spot I could think that I wouldn't mind seeing him at was, like, Miami, not because of where it is. That might be a problem. Miami, job. But, for real. But with that roster, I could see it. They also got some pieces they could send.
Maybe trade him with... This would actually be terrible. Him and Zion together.
I wouldn't hate it.
That'd be too much media.
Somebody talked about, like, him and Ant would be really, like, fun to watch together just because it's so high-flying.
I don't think they would win, but...
I don't think they would either, but just so high-flying, the highlights of those games would be crazy.
Kings would probably bounce on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I don't think he'd be a good fit there either.
Maybe Orlando, but they don't really have a lot of shooting around him.
They'd have to probably trade one of their big three for the money to work, too.
Yeah.
Or they would trade Jalen Suggs. Yeah, they probably don't want to do that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, he's kind of painting himself in a corner, and I hope he has a lot of talent. I still think he could be a great point guard, but he's got to do some rebranding, I think.
Yeah.
He's got that Allen Iverson in him, I think.
He's just got to... Maybe this is a wake-up call for him. Because I'm sure all the talk shows on ESPN or wherever gonna be hitting him pretty hard
the
next couple of days. And hopefully that's a good wake-up call for Ja to hold himself accountable.
Totally.
Get back to where he was.
Yeah. Well, other than disgruntled ex-superstars, who have you been watching in the NBA?
Let's just talk. I know we've probably already talked about this. How good is Wemby?
Dude. Scary good.
That's it's scary. I remember last year, like, every time I'd watch, like, top highlights of the week, Wemby's in, like, 2 of them.
Yeah.
Every week he's got some highlight where it's like, Wemby just made the most impressive block you've ever seen. And after he blocked it, he went and, like, did a step back 3. Or, like, he's jumping over a guy. Or he's, like, doing a self-lob. Or, like... Just the highlights are kind of insane, and his stats back it up. His stats look amazing. To me, he's like an MVP candidate.
Totally.
Maybe the top guy right now for MVP, you could argue.
I saw somebody in a comment section the other day saying that Wemby's already in the GOAT conversation, which I think is kind of ridiculous. But, like, when you watch him, you're like, I mean, have we ever seen anything like this before? This is insane.
Yeah, never. He was your dark horse MVP. I think that's going to hold true.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I've been watching this. I think we made our MVP predictions last week, but I think this MVP race is setting up to be like a generational MVP race. I mean, you got, like, I don't know if the Thunder are ever going to lose. I think Shea's playing incredible. Wemby's playing incredible. Giannis is playing amazing.
Jokic.
You got Jokic. Luka's been scoring like 50, 40 every game. You got Tyrese Maxey, who's like...
Yeah, he's lighting it up.
It's like, I don't even... This is going to be like the craziest MVP race ever, I think. Like, this is setting up to be pretty wild.
Yeah, they might have to give out like 3 MVPs.
Yeah.
And yeah, they all deserve it.
It's wild. So I think... I'm just excited. There's just so much talent in the NBA. We talked about that a ton last year, but man, it's such a good time to be an NBA fan. It's so cool.
Yeah. I also think Wembanyama, this would be his first year in the playoffs if he's able to make it, which he should.
Absolutely.
I think there might be a little bit ahead of schedule.
You think so?
Yeah, because they're so young. They've got Harper's still only a rookie. He's been looking pretty good.
Yeah.
They got Castle, who's only in his second year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got guy from Carter Bryant, who's a rookie, right? So they've got, those are all guys that I want to build around if I'm them.
Yeah.
And De'Aaron Fox, like, kind of is the odd man out, to be honest.
Totally. Because
he's injured and he's not playing.
He hasn't played this year, yeah.
And they look great without him.
Totally.
So, like, I don't even know, do we even need De'Aaron Fox? It's kind of hard to say. So I feel like the idea in my head for the Spurs this year was like, hey, let's just make the play in and take a little step forward.
Yeah.
I think they might be a little bit ahead of schedule, because if this is really a Spurs team that like has a chance to contend this year, like low-key, you might want to trade Dylan Harper and just try and go all in this year.
I totally agree. I think too, if there's any team that can stop the Spurs, I think it's the Thunder. Not just because I just think the only matchup I like against Wemby at all is Chet. I don't think that he's a Wemby stopper, but like similar.
You don't like our boy Walker Kessler?
No. I don't know. I just think Chet's a similar like build as Wemby.
Yeah, he can have a pretty high reach.
Couple inches shorter, but I think that like, I don't know. I think that's their biggest competitor right now. I agree with you though. I think guys like De'Aaron Fox come in and they just change the entire way you play. Like will De'Aaron Fox be okay with the fact that it's the Wemby show and not the De'Aaron Fox show?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of have a hard time seeing that would be the case.
And if he does, great.
Yeah.
I think then their ceiling's even higher. But
totally.
It's hard to say. Anyways, I don't know. I'm just kind of surprised how good they are. They might be a little bit too quick.
Yeah.
And then another interesting thing, the Sixers and Bulls are the top of the East, which...
Bulls just barely lost their first
game.
Two
lottery teams, right?
Yeah.
What's going on with that? Tyrese Maxey, he was on my fantasy team last year. I think he kind of slid under the radar. A lot of people forgot how good he was because Embiid kind of ruined the Sixers' reputation around the league. But Tyrese Maxey, that's his team this year.
And with the Bulls, I think their best player's been Josh Giddey this year.
Yeah.
23, 11, and 12 last night. I think he had like 33, 14, and 9 another game.
He's been playing so well.
He's special. Yeah.
And then all they had to do was trade Caruso for him.
Yeah. Maybe the Grizzlies just need to add Joel Embiid to play next to Ja. We'll just make it a total reality show over there.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll send Zion too with his eating problems. And
I mean, hey, thin Zion.
That's true.
It's not really been working because they're 0-6.
No,
but.
Yeah. Yeah. Another team I've been watching, the Utah Mammoth.
Ooh,
7-0.
Dude.
Well, they were 7-0 with Tuskegee after they announced him. We've lost, I think, 2 games since that we lost our last 2 games. Mammoth sit at 8-4 right now. Just still, but we've been competing. Like last night, Tampa Bay Lightning took it to the last couple of minutes. I almost had a power play goal. They scored an open net to kill us, but just looks like a really good team so far.
I've been impressed. I think I saw what was it? It was maybe like a top 100 players ranking or maybe it was like a power ranking or something where it was talking about which guys have like improved from last year till the beginning of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Schmaltz and Logan Cooley,
let's go,
have like been so much better this year than they were last year.
Yeah.
Like they look just, they're scoring, they're playing so well. Mm. I'm not super a hockey guy, but I'm seeing their stats and they're just like,
yeah,
dominating. We're scoring way more goals than we did last year, it feels totally. Like. I don't know. So it feels like those guys are building blocks. We still got Clayton Keller, who was great last year, and he's still doing really well.
Dylan Gunther.
Dylan Gunther is really good.
I think, I don't know if we talked about this in the last episode, but Logan Cooley signed an 8-year contract. Did you see that?
That's insane.
I guess that's just how, that's kind of like a hockey and baseball thing, signing that long of contracts. I kind of wish the NBA was that way sometimes, but.
Yeah. Logan Cooley's leading our team in goals. He's got 8.
Dang, let's go.
And then Schmaltz has got 10 assists and 7 goals.
Dang.
Dude, so Schmaltz is like probably top of the league in like points, like goals and assists.
I was watching the game. I think it was last night, the Lightning game. Maybe it was the night before. I can't remember. Anyways, we were like down by a goal, and then the announcers were like, when are they going to put in the lineup? And it was like Cooley, Schmaltz, Gunther. I was like, dang, these guys are
Paterka.
Really... Yeah,
Paterka,
yeah.
I think he is.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. Anyways, it's just kind of cool that we have like a lineup of guys that can just go out and get a goal, you know? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're so doing super well. Another thing that I want to point out too is another article I saw is like the best prospects in the NHL currently, top 100.
Yeah.
Or top 200. And the Mammoth had like 5 guys in there.
Let's go.
And I don't know if you remember our boy TJ Ginla.
Yeah, we haven't even seen him this year.
He was like number 6 prospect in the league. And so like, and I think we also had a guy in the top 20 as well. So like our prospects are also like up there with the best of them.
Yeah.
So if we just add a couple of those guys onto the roster with what we already have cooking, we're going to be good for like a couple more, maybe 5 years, we're going to be pretty good.
Every time I hear a lot of these players talk, it seems like they love Utah too, which is kind
of
cool.
Yeah,
I think
the culture of just loving the team.
Yeah.
Everyone rallies around.
Because we don't get really that in basketball. I feel like occasionally we have a player that loves being here, but for the most part, it's like Utah's kind of being banished. Sometimes it feels that way. It's like hockey, I guess. They're not as concerned with big or small markets. It's just like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they could be in like Long Island, New York,
New Jersey or somewhere.
Yeah, like somewhere pretty small.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so I think just having an expansion team just brings so much energy. Every game is sold out. It's just a great atmosphere.
Totally.
I guess that could also bring us to some Big 12 football.
Ooh,
Big 12.
Things are heating
up. What do we have, like 4 or 5 teams in the top 25 now?
Yeah, I think we got 4.
Yeah. BYU and Texas Tech, if I'm not mistaken, are in the top 10.
Nine and ten. Yeah, something like that. The first college football ranking comes out tomorrow at noon, I believe, on Tuesday at noon. So we'll see
what BYU best be in there.
We should be top 5.
At least
5.
For like Big 12 champion.
We honestly should be top 5, but I don't think they're going to do it for us. But I think the Big 12 rankings are getting kind of interesting, like thinking of all the possibilities. Like Utah's kind of out of it, but they're kind of not. I mean, like,
because they've been playing very well since they lost to BYU.
They have a pretty easy schedule remaining. They'll probably win out. The question is, like, some other things have to fall for them to get in. Like, technically, Cincinnati's still ahead of them, even though they lost. Tech would still have the tiebreaker over Utah, even if they lost one more. BYU would have to lose 3 more for Utah to pass them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, anyways, but if BYU beats Tech and Cincinnati, then it's a 3-way tie, and then Utah would be in to play BYU. It just gets really, like, weird, yeah. Because then it goes to strength of schedule, and I think Utah's pretty ahead of those other two teams. And then, as a BYU fan, I really don't want to see Utah again this year,
please,
to be honest.
If I get a pick, give me Cincinnati.
Totally. I'll take Tech.
Like,
we'll play Tech twice.
Maybe we just tank that Cincinnati game to get them in.
Yeah, right? That's actually not a bad idea. Because the thing is, I think Tech and Cincinnati have pretty easy schedules other than BYU. Like, I think they both play West Virginia still.
Easy W.
Easy win. I think Tech plays, I think it's TCU as well. They could win that.
Easy dub.
Cincinnati plays UCF. So it's like,
easy dub.
They could win those games. It's just,
that's kind of what our schedule is after those two as well.
Yeah.
So, but at least it feels nice as a BYU fan to have that cushion. Like, we could lose a game and we're still okay.
Yeah.
For the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
What's your, like, score prediction for Texas Tech? Or, like, do you think it's a win or how many points?
On the road's going to be tough, but I think Baron Morton, their starting quarterback, I can't remember if he's going to be in or out, but he's questionable. That's going to be a big part of... But BYU's defense has just looked really nice this year. No quarterback has really looked that great against BYU. I think it's going to come down to if LJ's healthy. We got to get our running game going. But I think BYU could... I think it'll be a sneak out win again, probably by 3, would be my guess.
Okay. I don't like these close games. They kind of pull my heart.
I don't either.
I'd say I think we can win by a touchdown, give us a 7-point win.
I don't mind it against Tech. I'd rather not do it against Colorado. I feel like we should have beat Colorado.
And I think the committee will give us a break if it's a close loss, too.
Yeah, totally.
They probably won't put us too far down in the standings if we lose by 7.
Yeah. I was listening to something else where they were talking about how the best thing for the Big 12 would be for BYU to go undefeated and then lose in the Big 12 championship, because then we could probably still get 2 teams into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
But as a BYU fan, I'd rather just be undefeated and win. But, you know,
well, for the conference, if we can get into the playoffs, I'm happy.
Totally. So, that's true.
Yeah.
But I think going undefeated and winning the championship would probably put us in a first-round bye. I would hope so. They might keep us out, but I don't know. That's kind
They're
of interesting.
They're stingy.
Yeah.
Because that would, yeah, we'd have to be like AP poll, like we'd have to be number 5 at that point.
Yeah.
I would guess.
Yeah, well, they got rid of the like conference champion thing, so we would have to be top 4, I think.
Okay. So it'd be close. It'd be close.
Yeah. And we're getting up there.
It's hard to pass those big dogs. Like, yeah. Ohio State's probably just going to be there.
I don't know if A&M's going to lose. Indiana looks really
good. But Indiana and Oregon have to play each other probably
at
some point.
Or I think Indiana already beat.
Or Indiana and Ohio State, because they're both Big Ten.
They're probably going to play in the championship, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe if one of them loses in the championship, we might pass them. I don't know.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, it could be really interesting. BYU basketball starts tonight. They're probably already started playing Villanova in Las Vegas tonight. AJ DeBonsa is looking pretty special.
Yeah, he does.
You think we think we got the dub tonight?
I hope so. I don't think Villanova's that good.
Yeah.
I want to say. Because, like...
BYU's currently up 11 as we speak. 26-15.
Okay, okay. And this game for sure counts.
Yeah.
It's not like
it's our
an
first official
game.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Villanova, they haven't really been a big team for the past year or two. They're a big name since, like, they won the championship with Jay Wright. But
yeah.
Yeah, they didn't even make the tournament last year, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Dawson Baker played. I was worried if he was going to play. He's 5 points already.
Oh, let's go. He was critical off the bench last year,
totally.
So I hope he plays.
People are forgetting about how good he is. AJ's got 6 already. Richie's got 3. Pretty good.
Okay.
So, it's getting exciting for me. We beat UNC the other day. It was an exhibition, but it was a good win.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You were talking before we recorded just about AJ. Do you like his game so far?
I think he's going to be really good. I think the question is, like, I think our team has everything it takes to win it all this year. But the question is going to be, like, how well can we, like, meld together? I feel like AJ plays a little selfish sometimes. Just, like, you know, he puts a lot of ISO ball, which isn't, like, very college basketball. You know, I don't know. I just would love to see guys like Richie Saunders and Rob Wright get going, and that's going to be hard if AJ's taking 20 shots a game, you know, so.
Yeah, I think we don't want to, like, forget how good of a player we have in Richie Saunders.
Totally.
Dude was he all first team Big 12?
Big 12, yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing last year, and I just think if we lean too much into AJ, we're not going to get the kind of Richie that we were getting last year. So I don't know. I hope that we at least balance it out between Richie and Rob Wright so we can get both of them going and the rest of the team will kind of just fall into place.
Oh, yeah. But, and AJ doesn't have to do it. I didn't even think he needs to protect his draft stock that much. I think it's pretty, people know who he is. And they'll be more impressed if he goes and bees a winner like Cooper Flagg did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. And he can kind of show that he can make the right plays and be a team player in those sense, right? Because in the NBA, he's going to get there and he's going to need to be able to do that.
Yeah, totally.
So. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz Podcast. Great to get a win tonight. Glad we could beat those Celtics. Thank you for listening. Make sure to follow us on all podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you can find us. Check out our past couple episodes. We've broken down the first 4 or 5 games of the Utah Jazz season and all of our predictions. And make sure to have a great rest of the week and take care.
Peace.